You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we'd like to have you come and join us. We've got a special, we've had all sorts of new things going on. We relaunched our youth ministry last Thursday night, and last Wednesday we concluded our study on the book of Revelation. This Wednesday we're going to begin a new journey. We're going to be looking at the life of Moses. We're going to be using a book written by the guest that we have in our studio today, and that is Julie West.
Hello.
And you might recognize her voice. She's heard across Central Florida on a regular basis, and so welcome, Julie, to the Refresh Radio program.
It's a joy to be here. It really is.
So she has written this marvelous book about exiting Egypt. And let me tell you, almost a year ago, I was hosting a minister's meeting, and she walked in. I'd never met her. I spent the entire meeting trying to figure out what church everybody was from. And afterwards, we sat down, we were talking at lunch, found out she went to the same Bible college that I did. And then my presbyter, you know, even after talking to her, it's like, I know the voice, but I don't know where the voice fits. I'm still trying to fit it into a church box. And presbyter introduces me and to her and says, you recognize her voice. And then all of a sudden, you know, Z88.3 comes in. She hands me this book. And I don't know if you remember what you said, but you said, here's a copy of my book. If you like the book, tell people that you like the book. If you don't like the book, throw it away and forget that I ever gave it to you. So welcome, Julie. And maybe you could just take just a minute and give people some insight about who you are.
Well, I am, like you mentioned, I'm on air at Z88.3, but I'm also a credentialed minister, and through that do a lot of teaching and preaching. And while other people were learning to bake bread and refinish furniture during COVID, I wrote this book and do a lot of other writing and speaking. So, yeah.
Well, we are glad to have you. She is an author and a Bible teacher. She holds degrees in theology and youth ministries, and I believe your ministry is called Worth Remembering Ministries.
Worth Remembering, and it's not about me. It actually comes from the book that it was interesting to me that we never are told the name that Moses' parents give him. The only name we get is the one that Pharaoh's daughter assigns, and we never get the names of the pharaohs in the Exodus story because people, they tend to want to take these big figures and turn them into superheroes and that sort of thing. And so it's like the Lord is saying, you don't need to remember their names. They're not the stars of the story. But we are told to remember two women. We're commanded to, Shifra and Pua, because they risked their lives like the Iranians are doing right now in the face of a hostile government to stand up and defend the word of the Lord and defend life. And so he blesses them. But so that I am not particularly worth remembering. it's a call to remember the things and the people in the word that the Lord tells us to.
Well, I told you I would read the book. And I did. We crossed paths at General Council in August, and I said, I'm halfway through. And I just kept, I've got my copy here There is underlines on all the way from the front to the back, because the more I read, the more intrigued I was. And then it was like, how come I'd never seen that before? And things like that. So I told you whenever I finished reading it that we would have you on here, because it is a phenomenal book.
Thank you.
And so in fact, it's so impactful that starting tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we're going to be diving into that, because it's not so much about the information we have in our head but about the transformation that God wants to do inside of us and how it can apply. And there's a lot of real life application in that book. So one of the things that you talked about, you said you wrote it during COVID, but you have several places in the book that you talk about that sometimes God hides us away for a season. And that season for you was a pretty challenging season when you were writing it.
It was. Before COVID began, I had a couple very serious diagnoses and a major surgery. So I was on lockdown for 100 days before the rest of the world started. And the Lord had been telling me, you need to write for a while. And I was sort of like, I'm too busy. Well, then he was like, do you want to bet? So I didn't even know where to start writing. So I thought I was going to write about David and the mighty men. And as soon as I sat down and started to write, it was interesting. The Lord didn't give me clear direction until I obeyed. It's sit down, start to write. And then it was, no, that's not it. And I immediately was steered to Moses. But then, so I got what would have been, okay, here's a nice little ladies' Bible study. No big deal. I don't have time to do any more. And my time on lockdown from my health issues was almost up. I was battling systemic sarcoidosis. They removed a 5-pound mass unrelated from my abdomen. Major surgeries. For a while, they weren't sure I was going to make it. And I said, okay, Lord, that's all I have the time or energy to do. And again, it was like he said, do you want to bet? And the day that I was supposed to be able to drive again and get out there, they announced the 2 weeks to slow the curve. I was like, okay, I'm not going to put it off anymore. I'm just going to obey and do the thing. So I felt like I was living the plagues of Egypt as I was writing about them.
And you, one of the stories you talked about in the book is a lot of times we think of obedience as being giant steps, but sometimes they can be little bitty small steps. And you were talking about a trip to Thailand that you took and...
Right. So I was going to do some ministry in Thailand. And we've all got those different Christian books that we have on the shelf that were, you know, you've read through a few times. And as I was packing, I really felt in my spirit that the Lord was telling me to grab a copy of Mere Christianity. And I thought, that is silly. I have read that thing so many times. I'm not, you know, and it kept weighing on me. Well, so I throw it in the carry-on. And as I, during the flight, I get seriously ill. I am generally a healthy person, despite this show. But I have to go from the flight directly to the hospital. While I'm in the hospital, I end up sharing a room with a young woman who was raised in a Muslim home, although she had pretty much rejected that faith. But her mother was raised Catholic and converted to Islam to marry, and it was her first time there in the hospital. She got permission to be out from under the burqa. It was her first time in 30 years out from under a burqa. And we spent that time, a week together there, talking about scripture. And the crazy thing is, at the time, she didn't live half an hour from where I lived in Tennessee. And we spent that time talking through scripture. And it's like, yeah, but have you considered this? Have you? And I had that book, and we could go through that book. And it seemed crazy to add more weight to the carry-on. But when the Lord tells us to do something small like that, we never know how he's going to use it and bring it back around.
Yeah, One of my favorite passages is in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is ministering to the people in Athens, and he says, God's the one who chooses our times, our seasons, mm-hmm. and he chooses our boundaries so that we can reach out for him, so we can find him, and because in him we live and move and have our being. And that's one of the things I've just shared recently here on the program, and I really want Brevard County living, moving, and being in Christ in 2026.
So, amen.
So, you talked about the importance of being in society. It's you had something in there, either be in society or die.
Yeah, that we a lot of times will act like I can take my ball and go home. And we act like, okay, this is my personal faith and I'm going to work it out all on my own. And this isn't in the book, but here's something that most people don't understand or think about. That for the first 1500 years of the book, there was no printing press. So right. Your home daily Bible reading, which is important. I'm not telling you to quit reading your Bible. Do read your Bible as much as you can. But, you know, for the first few several hundred years of the church, that was not an option. And so your relationship with Christ was very much tied to that community. And you knew part of the scripture, I knew part of the scripture, and we built one another up in the faith. And it's supposed to be a living, interactive thing. That isolation is so dangerous that it's considered cruel and unusual for prison inmates.
Wow.
So why would you think that, why would anyone believe that God wants you to go off and live in your corner and live in, you know, all alone and figure the word out for yourself? Because it's not supposed to be like that.
And, you know, I know that there are people that are new to the area who may not have plugged into a church. When you relocate geographically, one of the most challenging things is to find a place to worship, you know, because a lot of times you're looking for what you just left,
mm-hmm.
and you come and the churches here are not the same churches, not the same pastors, not the same communities. And so, but it is very important. I pray for people who, you know, have been in church and now they're all by themselves and they're not attending anymore, sometimes because of physical challenges. But I just want to encourage people who might be listening, find a Bible preaching church. And I'm sorry we have to have that qualifier in 2026,
right.
But a place that preaches the word of God and wants to edify and encourage believers, because we need each other. We need the community that you were talking about.
And a lot of times, folks, I'm going to piggyback on that. A lot of times folks say, well, I'm not getting fed there. Okay, if you're a new Christian, if you've just been at this a few years, fine, we'll give you some grace. But at a certain point, it's time for us to say, it's my turn to feed others. It's my turn to show up and get my hands dirty. And that, more than just sitting there and being taught, getting in there and doing the ministry and being a part of the ministry is truly how you really grow to know Jesus.
Yeah, if you've got to prepare, mm-hmm. you're going to learn more than your students will. So,
isn't that the truth?
And so, it took me almost a year to read this book. Not because it's a bad book. I'm just kind of busy, like you were talking about. But man, I tell you, I've read the first half of the book twice, and highlighted a bunch of stuff. So let me just share a quick passage of scripture with you. If you've never encountered the story of Moses and what led to him going back to Egypt, it's in Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to read a whole bunch of this today, but it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said to him, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And, the great thing is God knew exactly where Moses was, knew who he was, and knew what he wanted to do with him. And so there is one of your chapters that deals with who am I, and it contrasts with who I am.
Right. Well, and a lot of times, you know, we hear about people working to find themselves, or, you know, that I'm going to find myself. And the longer we search to find ourselves, the more lost we'll end up being, because our identity needs to be in the I am. And, you know, from that passage, it reminds me, one of the things I talk about in the book that we tend to miss is how powerful and beautiful and loving is a God. Powerful enough to make himself manifest in a scrub bush, like any of the scrub bushes we see here, you know, driving down the road. And powerful enough to make himself known through something that was absolutely worthless, but still gentle enough to not destroy that scrub bush and so if that is how the Lord is with something as worthless as a weed, how can we trust him to deal with us? And on this, like the I am, I mean, it's part of it's two of the most powerful words in scripture. And it goes to the idea of it's not just I am, you can also understand it as I will be what I will be, or even, look, if you want to know who I am, look at what I've done. And this is why testimony services, or this is why scripture tells us, tell your children, tell your grandchildren what the Lord has done for you. Because when things get hard, you need to be able to say, you know what? I know that the Lord was there for my grandma like that. And I know the Lord did this for my mom and my daddy. And so I can count on him to work for me and my kids. I can count on that, because that is who he is. And he's a God who is so big. We go, you know, there's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, all of the, it's like he is a God who is so big and so powerful, he can't be contained within one name.
That's awesome. And so I was telling Danny before we came on the air today, as like when I read your book, as like I've read these passages, I mean, I've read my Bible hundreds of times.
Yeah, you have.
And you read things, and 2025, God was still showing me things that I had glossed over. Mm-hmm. And 2024 was the same way. And so when I was reading this passage, and you were talking about the God of your grandma, something I noticed, because I'd read it wrong. Says, I am the God of your father. And then it goes on, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Seeing relationship with God in our own home,
yeah,
is absolutely vitally important. And, you know, there's not just a fatherless crisis in our homes, sociologically damaging society. There need to be spiritual fathers in the home, and spiritual fathers in our churches as well.
Right. And children, young adults need that so much. And we need to step up and be willing to be that for them. That it's that they need, you know, if somebody was raised outside the church, and maybe that's you, you know, you're listening and you're like, well, I grew up without that, so I guess I'm out of luck. But think about that sweet, godly woman or that older man at your church or somebody that you know you know what, when they pray, the Lord does something, mm-hmm. the Lord moves for them, and stick yourself to them like glue and learn about Jesus. Absolutely. Like they know Jesus, and that will make all the difference.
Yeah. Several years ago, I was at a general council, and I don't remember which city it was, but I was in a banquet,
mm-hmm.
and stepped out for just a minute. And when I did, there was probably an 80-year-old minister who was sitting on a little love seat type thing, mm-hmm. in this conference hall hallway, and he was surrounded by about 8 or 9 20 or 30 year old ministers. Aww. And he was talking, he was sitting, they were standing, and I said, I don't know who he is, but they know who he is, and they know he has something to share and partake with, or part share with them as far as
impart
their ministry
to them. Yeah.
So there's an uncomfortable topic that you talk about, and I said that deliberately, because you talk about discomfort being used by God to dislodge us and to move us forward in God.
Yes. Yeah. That, you know, well, in my own life, that when we moved, we had lived in Franklin, Tennessee for 20 years, and my husband just kept feeling more and more restless. And a lot of times in our flesh, we fight against that, and we try to fill it up or make it more comfortable. And I finally went to my husband and I said, what is going on here? Because he just couldn't feel settled anymore. And we were in the place where we were going to live forever, right? And he just kept saying, I guess I'm waiting to see my burning bush. I guess I'm waiting to see my burning bush. And it's like, you know, I'm starting to wonder, is my husband crazy? He's a wonderful Christian man. But, you know, sometimes you're like, what's going on here? Anyway, he got this random call about a job interview in a city that we never in a million years would have considered. And he went in and he sat down, and behind the table where he was supposed to be interviewing was a giant picture of a burning bush. And he's like,
oh, wow.
I guess I'm supposed to be here. I guess this is the place. And so it's interesting because we fight against that discomfort, and a lot of times that is what the Lord uses to propel us into the next place and prepare us for where he wants us to be and get us ready for that next task.
Yeah, so much of society is driven, hey, I want to get to that place where I'm comfortable. And a lot of times God's more interested in our holiness than he is our comfort. Comfort's not a bad thing, but if we become so comfortable that we're not obeying God. There was another place a little bit later in the book that kind of tied in with the same thing, and that was, you talked about, I'd never heard this term before, bullfrog obedience. That was a phrase that caught my attention.
Yeah, I actually coined that phrase.
Okay, well, that's why I'd never heard it before.
So... The scripture is clear that, you know, when during the plague of frogs, that they came into the homes and they went into the beds and they went into the mixing bowls and list that, and there are no throwaway lines in scripture, none. But it says, and they went into the ovens, and the ancient ovens were contrary to everything that a frog is drawn to. Frogs like cool. They like wet, they like dark, you know, that's their world. And you have these frogs in scripture who marched right into ovens, which were hot and dry and bright and fiery. And they did it because the Lord called them to it. And if we can have that kind of obedience, and at the same time, God was consuming, because the Egyptians worshipped frogs. So it's interesting, because there that the fire destroyed the idols of Egypt. But later on, when we see the three boys enter the fiery furnace, and the Lord stands there with them in that fiery place because they demonstrated that bullfrog obedience, that the Lord shelters them and carries them through. So that bullfrog obedience, it's not a blind devotion to a man. It's not a drink the Kool-Aid, but it's like, whether I stay or go, whether I live or die, whether I speak or remain silent, whatever I do, I will do out of pure obedience to the Lord, whatever he asks.
And that is so important. You might be listening today and God's been dealing with you about something and you haven't done it. So several years ago, God challenged me to prayer walk Merritt Island. Merritt Island is not, you know, a short island. It was dozens and dozens and dozens of miles. And I started off and I was obedient. Mm-hmm. And then I got dehydrated. I got cramps. I couldn't walk and it was painful. And I was like, yeah, let's not do that. The first stretch was 12 miles.
Woo.
And, that was as far as I got in my obedience until one day God invaded my prayer time and, challenged me. Did you ever finish what I called you to do? And I said, no. And he said, well, let me give you a strategy. And, I can tell you, my insight into the community was I saw things I didn't even know existed, spiritual darkness on the island that I didn't even know was there. And so if you're listening and it's not been comfortable for you to obey the call of God on your life today, I want to encourage you to let your faith in God be greater than your faith in your comfort, because I can assure you that what God is calling you to is way more impactful and much more of a blessing than sitting in your lazy boy. So we're going to be closing down here in just a second. You want to share anything else? We got about a minute and 10 seconds.
Well, I guess I'd say I hope this is okay. If people are interested in getting the book, the easiest place to get it, either hard copy, a paperback, or an e-version, is at bookshop.org. You'll find it other places, and it's Exiting Egypt, Lessons from the Life of an Exile.
Okay, and this book impacted me so much. I'm for the people who come out to our Wednesday night Bible study tomorrow night, I'm personally providing a free copy to all who come. It's not going to be something that it took me a year to read it, so we're not going to be a one-week hit here. It's going to take us a while to get through the book, but would like to encourage you to come out and join us Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and we're going to do another program for tomorrow so that you can get a little bit more insight about the book, Exiting Egypt by Julie West, and we would like to invite you. Come and join us as we discover more of what God's called us to do. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.